So my message, and I wish I had been able to reach you, Jennifer, but the message and its title was inspired by singer-songwriter Jamie Lula. Are you familiar with him? He was awarded, because he works with the youth movement a lot, the singer-songwriter of the entire youth movement for Centers for Spiritual Living. But anyway, the song is entitled Compassion. And the line that touched my heart, and it was in your program, compassion is where my spirit breathes. Can we say that together? Compassion is where my spirit breathes. And I know we've all experienced it. I know we have. You know, when you and I are feeling that empathy toward others, or that caring, that love for our human beings on this earthly plane. So we know when our heart is full, we have that sense of oneness and softness, we feel open and we feel fully alive. So what are the other feelings that you would have? When you think about compassion is where my spirit breathes, what other thoughts come into your mind, words that would describe your feeling?
Joy.
Say that again.
Joy.
Absolutely. What else?
Freedom.
Freedom and? What was the other?
Thoughtfulness.
Oh, thoughtfulness. You all are so great. I love you. Thank you. I know I don't want this to be a downer, but I do want to make a comparison here. Now let's think for a moment when we're not feeling so compassionate. And I'll tell you, and when we talk about our spiritual practice for today, which is in addition to action, because we can jump into judgment so quickly. I practice this all the time. They say, you know, remind yourself. Well, we still take a newspaper. Some of you might say, what is that? But yeah. And I looked at the headline and I went, and I made a, I'm home all by myself. My husband's in Idlewild. And I made this out loud judgmental comment. And I went, well, we should practice what we preach, shouldn't we? So it isn't always easy, is it? So what could we call judgment, you know, about another? Would it be, what, finding fault? Come on, give me some ideas here. Play the blame game? Fear? What else? When I'm not feeling too compassionate. When you don't agree with with my thinking sometimes, is that one? And that was what that comment was for me. So at the end I'm going to talk about something that we're going to use to anchor in, to remind us. So anyway, when we're in this place, we certainly aren't feeling very connected. We're not feeling our unity, we're not feeling our oneness, and instead, what is that? It actually tightened my stomach. It did feel restrictive when I was aware of my thinking, when I thought about it. So with that said, question, do you think our spirit, do you think our divinity, the essence of the infinite incarnated as each one of us, when we're in that space, do you think there's any room for us to breathe? Has room to express itself through us, to flourish, to allow us to expand?
No.
Okay, good. Because there are kind of silly questions. We're all on the same page here. All right, the answers are obvious. At least they seem so when we talk about them, but when we move out into life, there seems to be so much stuff going on, you know, that we can have judgment about, feeling hurt, having our feelings hurt, feel resentment, you know, whatever, find fault, blame, blah, blah, blah. However, my friends, listen to this, whether we're talking about it in here or experiencing it out there, the results are the same. They are. Because compassion, kindness, empathy, love, caring, what does that equal? It equals expansiveness. It equals wholeness. It equals a whole sense of oneness. And that aliveness, I love that word, alive. And on the other hand, those other things, you know, the anger, the judgment, and the blame and fear, it does cause that separation. And it shrinks our divine expression. And I'll tell you, when we go through this talk, if there's anyone who thinks, well, I know, but it's really hard, what's in it for me? I'll tell you what's in it for you. There's a study, now listen, a recent research study from the University of Michigan that says people who are kind-hearted and compassionate live 9 years longer than those aren't, that, you know, who don't have it. So for your health, let's do it. I think that's why Jimmy Carter is the oldest living president, you know, ever, in America, because he does so many compassionate things. So I think, yes, I think that research study is right. Well, listen to what our founder, our beloved founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, he has some thoughts on what will happen when we move from a non-compassionate way of living and move into a space of love and compassion. So I'm going to share this with you. He says, if we can become the living embodiment of love and light, if we can bind ourselves together reverently in love, in compassion, in mutual respect and understanding, under the cohesive powers, I love him, of the universe, the law of good, and the beneficence of a divine and universal presence, then, capitalized in it, then we shall be able to lead the world down the pathway of new enlightenment. And I'll tell you, I think that would be a wonderful thing to be a part of. And it's so powerful. So how many of us want to play a part in the role of leading the world down the pathway of a new enlightenment? I'm looking. So if you said yes to that, maybe some of us more loudly than others, I want to ask you this question. Are you sure? Because, my friends, it takes more than just saying yes on a Sunday morning. So if you're sure, we have some work to do, so let's just dive right in. And I'm not going to spend time talking about compassion for things that are easy to have compassion for. A little bird falls out of it. Oh, I have such a story to share about one of my friends that saved a little hummingbird baby that fell out of the... It's natural. It's natural to have compassion for... animals, babies, hungry children, innocent people that are caught, you know, maybe in the crossfires so many hundreds and hundreds of things to have compassion for that we feel. And of course, when we have compassion for them, then what happens? We reach out, we offer our comfort, we offer our assistance, we offer a hand. Of course we do that. That's a given. So that's the baseline. What we want to talk about today is having compassion, love, caring, empathy for those we might consider not so lovable, that might not seem so compassion-worthy, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what happens when we're out in real life. That's when we live here. So that's where the difference is made. So in order for us to be that person, to help the world down the pathway of a new enlightenment, there's a spiritual practice that we must become proficient at. We need to engage in it. Maybe we start out small, so we, that we can build our compassion muscles and for when the big stuff happens. So I'm going to put you on the spot. What idea, what practice might be I talking, might be that I'm talking about? Say that again. Yes, that is a practice. What else?
Forgiveness.
And you know, I almost decided to, I was at one point, like yesterday, thinking about really talking about forgiveness, because that is really, really strong. The one I want us to work on today, though, is the upliftment and empowerment of our conscious awareness to be awake. And we do that in the very single arena where we have absolute control, unlimited capacity, and infinite creativity. That is the arena of our consciousness, our thinking. So as we work in this arena, that's where our journey becomes fabulous. You know, more than 100 years ago, Ralph Waldo Emerson, what did he say? A person becomes what he or she thinks about most of the time. Thank heaven he added most of the time. You know? Ernest Holmes, change your thinking, change your life. One of my favorites, James Allen, familiar? You think in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but your looking glass. So what these sages are telling us, and what we teach in the science of mind, we do teach this, is that our outer world is a reflection of our inner. And in order for us to bring anything into our lives, we need to create it in our mind. We know that. In other words, we must be it, and then we put it into, what's our action? What's our word? Action, yes. And that takes awareness. Do you know that studies have shown that human beings think it gave this range, so I thought, well, some of us aren't quite as thinking as others, 12,000 and 80,000 thoughts a day. And here's the sad news. He said 98%, at least 98% are the same as we had before the day before. Yeah. It's almost like we're on automatic pilot, isn't it? You know? So to be more consciously aware, we must begin to be aware of our thoughts. We learn to think about what we're thinking about. You know? And to replace any thoughts that stand in the way of our heart-to-heart connection, the compassionate connection of love. So, and I think you touched on it when we says our educational background, our occupation, where we live, our size, our skin color, our age, whatever, none of these matter. That's just our window dressing, you know? It's a special covering, our gift wrapping, I call it, that's unique to each of us. Because beneath all that is the essence of who we are, which are spiritual beings having a human experience. So beneath the gift wrapping is the present, and that present is the presence of our heart. At the level of the heart, we are connected by love. So our main job then is to focus the attention away from the judging, blaming, faulting, and ask ourselves, and Reverend Allison, my colleague, by the way, thank you for being here, had this cute little email. She said, I'm there for you, Reverend Lynn, because she knew my husband, Dr. Reverend Steve, is in Idlewild with the teen, doing teen camp advisor training and stuff, but I'm there for you. But what is the thing that we talk about when we're in counseling that you've heard me say a million times? What would love do here? Yes. And I remember when we were talking about an issue with a relative of yours, and it was a tough one. And I said, what would love do here? And she didn't like to hear that. But when she thought about it, it made a big difference in how she was going to respond. So we use that a lot. I have a favorite metaphor says, when we find fault with others, they wither like a flower without water. And if instead we show love and appreciation, it will bloom. You know, the flower. And I think that's what we all want. I think we all want being shown love, to be shown appreciation, greatness, kindness, so that we can blossom. You know, that really helps us. Think about the people you love. To be around most, I'm thinking. You know, where you find the enthusiasm, where they're positive, where you're able to be yourself. And I bet you would say that they are loving and supporting and tender-hearted. And I love that word, tender-hearted, because sometimes we assume people have it all together and they don't need us, you know. But wouldn't it be better to kind of move beyond our assumptions and offer that kind of thoughtfulness and appreciate? You know, I think everybody appreciates receiving a compliment. Do you agree? A smile, a pat on the shoulder. Maybe we can't do that anymore. You'll catch it. A note of thanks. Or just maybe a question, you know, how are you doing today? So we can make such a difference. I'm going to share something from Alan Cohen's book, and then I'm going to move on to a illustration. So Alan Cohen, in his delightful book, Joy is My Compass. Has anybody seen that or read it or even know who he is, you know? Well, anyway, okay. He says the difference between a saint and a sourpuss is that the sourpuss sees their daily interactions as a nuisance, you know, while saints find a continuous stream of opportunities to celebrate. One finds intruders, you know, and the other angels. At any given moment, we have the power to choose what we will be and what we will see. And when we live in this way, we're living from our hearts and living in the heart of God. And when we live in the heart of God, we let our tender-heartedness shine through in everything we do. Yeah. Well, I do have to say there's something about Einstein, too, that's quite good. He says we're all part, listen to this, there's no private good. Have you heard that before? There is no private good. We're all part of that greater universal spirit. So we're not on this journey alone. We're given roles. We're given opportunities for each one of us to be that points of inspiration and elevation to all of humankind. I think we're all charged with being that understanding as ultimately part of our journey, you know, to heal that collective consciousness of humanity. And we do that one person at a time, and we're here to make that difference. So I'm looking at the time here. I'm going to close with an illustration. But I do want you to ask yourself this. What is it that I can do to lift those others around me? How can I lift others who really need my support? How can I share, I call my pearls, to help them on their way? Because we can do this. No matter what's going on in our lives, the condition of our lives, we have the capacity to make a difference. So I want us to make a conscious choice to start now, start today, and to take action. So my illustration is this. And I love this. Hope you do too. So I was at the grocery store buying some potatoes, and I noticed a small boy. He was kind of raggedy, but clean. And he was hungrily looking at this basket of freshly, listen to the words in that song. You are going to hear what divine mind does, you know, this universal mind, because you're going to hear, oh my gosh, that was part of the song. And did I know what you were going to? No, But anyway, it's great. Hey, good morning. Love and blessings to you all. Thank you for being here. It's so great to see you. I'm happy to be here. It's a beautiful day. Again, a special thanks. I want to say a special thanks. Not again. Tony, Anne, where are you? And Keith, for for really supporting me, because I am here as your guest host, as your guest. And while Reverend Patty and her hubby are in Hawaii, right? Whoa, and did anybody see that Facebook post of the double rainbow? Beautiful. Well, she'll be back next week, but we're going to have some fun today. Well, we're in our third week of our theme, of our whole series, based on compassion. And so when I posted this, people in other states went, that are friends of mine, when I just forwarded the post, they go, oh, I want to be there. And it was like, well, jump on a plane. Compassion. I want to paraphrase what Dr. Holmes says. And I'm paraphrasing it for a reason. He says, compassion is love in action. And to me, let's say that together. Compassion is love in action. And the operative word here is action. Yes, exactly. So compassion is that tie, that binds us together in this wonderful mutual understanding with each other. And Reverend Patty touched on this last Sunday. She invited us, and I had to really write this down because it just resonated. And I thought, oh, this is so lovely, I have to share it. But she invited us to consider the power that we hold when we hold someone's heart and dignity in our hands. And we were reminded that our challenge is to be great enough to rise in love and in charity through understanding and compassion. To fall so deeply in love with life, and that's life with a capital L, that we will surrender any concept that we are separate, individuals. I love that. Last Sunday, she shared aspects of the law of cause and effect as it relates to this month's talk, because we could talk about cause and effect all year. It could be our message every Sunday, just a different version. But anyway, as we think, so it becomes real in our lives. Can we understand that? So our goal then is to do what? To align our thinking with what we want, and it's so relevant with our theme, because isn't something what we want ourselves is compassion and love from other people? Isn't that, just their understanding? And I like to use for my mind, because maybe I like just to be more simple-minded. But I kind of think of cause and effect as a boomerang. How many of you know what a boomerang is? Not everybody. I tried to find one, and I couldn't find one because I wanted to, but I wasn't going to do that demonstration for you. But anyway, what a boomerang does is that you throw it out, and it comes back to us, right? So it's our own personal boomerang, meaning we want to make our very best efforts to throw out into the universe through our thought and our deeds, our action, because that's our action word today, this heartfelt compassion, understanding that it's going to come back to us, always. And there's something very powerful that resides in our hearts. It's energy, direction, it's quality, because it definitely directs both our inner experience and our outer experience. So I'd like us to just take a moment and think. We can ask ourselves this question. Ask yourself, what is the quality of my heart right now? Oh, is it open? Is it vibrant? Is it encouraging me? Is it encouraging others around me? Is it sponsoring love, compassion, and how about enthusiasm for life itself, for living, for its livingness? All of those beautiful qualities emerge from the heart space because it contains the all-pervading, indwelling spirit, which is love, intelligence, and beauty. And you know what? As conscious centers of the divine, we do get, I would even say we're privileged to do our love and our expression out into the to the community, to allow it to lead us into that goodness. And so today we have another opportunity then to explore our unconditional love for each other through compassion, and it's through that lens of compassion. So my message, and I wish I had been able to reach you